He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is Taco Tuesday, 9/9/25 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. Markets up a little bit. Now we're mixed. The NASDAQ was up. The Dow was down. Now that's reversed, and it's the Dow that's up. But just by 18 points, that puts the Dow at 45,532. It was 3,500 when I got into the business some 25 years ago. Now it's at 45,532. I'd say that's been a pretty good investment, investing in the market. The NASDAQ is down 3 after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. That's right, a new all-time high. The NASDAQ is closing in on 22,000. I remember when it was like 1,100 after the dot-com bubble burst back in 2000 and 2001. Now we're at 21,795. It's down 3 points today. A big news item there in the AI space today that we'll get to. The S&P is up 2 points to 64.97. Small caps are down 0.25%. The bond market is quiet today with the 10-year at 4.05, and gold is hitting another new all-time high. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, and what does the CMT, is it CMT?
Yeah, chartered market technician.
That's so, what I thought. Chartered CFA market version, technician.
Yeah, CFA version of charting, I guess you would say.
Yes, that's good, enough. And we do a lot of charting here at Gunderson Capital. In
Your
fact,
article.
They had an article out on Seeking Alpha yesterday on charting. More importantly, the current charts of the market, which I look at on a daily basis, but on Saturday I stop with the market closed, quiet of a Saturday morning, and look at all of those charts when they're static for a change, and see what the current shape and general condition is of those charts. Very, very important. Well, we hit a new high in the NASDAQ again yesterday. And we have a big winner today in the NASDAQ. It is an AI stock. It's in our emerging growth portfolio. And, man, it's up. Last time I looked, it was up 40%. That emerging growth portfolio is having a very good year here in 2025. And we'll get to that stock here in a moment. But we'll take a look at, pick up where we left off yesterday. Really, the market never stops. It really never ends, even though the bell rings at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's news coming in after the market, throughout the night. China, the Asia markets open at around, I think, midnight our time. The European markets are moving. There's deals being made around the world. The markets really never sleep anymore, and it ended up being a pretty good day in the market yesterday, the NASDAQ closing at an all-time high. And, of course, gold is really a story. Wow. It's now, let's see, is it 3,700 yet? Gold is now at an all-time. Who would have ever thought Trump would have been so good for gold? 3,710. And I want to say that's the first time. Now, it was just it was mired in the 18 to 1900 range for the longest period of time. And for whatever reason, Trump has been very good for the gold markets. And the gold is now 3,710.
He's been pretty good trading range. Yeah, it was in the trading range for like 6 months.
A long time.
Just broke out. Once it broke above that 3,500 mark, I guess at the beginning of September, and it's just continued decline since.
The correlation. Maybe the bigger the national debt goes, the higher gold goes. That could be one correlation. World turmoil is another correlation. We don't see the dollar crashing. That was always supposed to be the reason why gold would go up, but instead it's going up on its own volition with a strong U.S. dollar. It is seen as an alternative along with the cryptocurrencies these days and other things. And, of course, silver has climbed right along with it. Independence of the Fed or non-independence of the Fed seems to be an issue right now. And this whole tariff thing has seemed to excite gold. We learned yesterday that if the Supreme Court deems the Trump tariffs illegal, which I can't imagine. I don't know. I mean, it seems like tariffs have been used. They played a big part in the Civil War down here that started in South Carolina, just a few miles from my home. I pass right by it in my boat there at Fort Sumter, and the first shot of the Civil War was fired right there. Tariffs was a big issue back then. Tariffs are still a big issue, but the U.S. would owe up to $1 trillion in refunds. Imagine getting a refund check. Does the consumer get a refund check if I paid a tariff on something? Do I get a check in the mail from Bessent, signed by Bessent, Barry?
I hope. I mean, I don't. To me, it's like I hope we got the trillion still sitting around. If they do, try to unwind it. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of scary. I mean, it's almost. I'm like, I'm hoping. I'm looking at it and it's thinking. I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know if the Supreme Court can rule against them. I mean, give up $1 trillion.
That shouldn't be a factor. It should be just the legality of it. Yeah. But I would think it would be legal. That's just my opinion, just as an outside layman. If the court says so, we have to do it, Bessent said. The refund could be anywhere between $750 billion and $1 trillion. Last week, Trump asked the Supreme Court to quickly accept and rule on an appeal aiming to overturn a lower court ruling that deemed most of the tariffs illegal. And I have a problem with that, and I think most people have a problem with that. These lower courts that seem to be more agenda-driven than anything else. I mean, you can find a judge somewhere who will render a ruling against whatever you want to, whether it's the immigration issues, the tariff issues. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. So anyways, we will see where that ends up. We do still have earnings coming in.
Oracle this evening.
Tonight we're going to get Oracle. Oracle has really become a huge player in AI. They're making a big play, and they're offering some. I heard on one of the talk shows, Oracle was actually running a lot of ads on. Might have been Charlie Kirk or
they're on Sirius Radio a lot. Actually, when I hear them
running ads,
yeah, exactly.
They want to become a big part, and they're offering big discounts in their own cloud system and everything. I guess going up against Amazon against AWS. GameStop's going to report tonight. That'll be interesting. You got Ryan Cohen now involved in GameStop, and GameStop is totally changing their company. If you haven't noticed, they're really getting into collectibles, and which is a big thing. That is another alternative out there, an asset class that is really quite robust. The collectibles, whether it's Pokemon cards, whether it's HO locomotives, whether it's Beatles autographs, which one of my brothers is a big player in that space. GameStop also with the crypto and everything. They're going to report after the close tonight, and there's still a big short interest there in GameStop. But I'm hearing that there's been a little bit of a revival at the stores as they're really branching out into other areas.
Well, and they grade cards. They
grade, yes.
You know, they'll grade playing cards now, you know.
That's PSA, which grades for them.
Yeah.
And I can't think of his first name. I think it's Phil. Phil Orlando is the owner of PSA. Which grades cards. And Orlando's also pretty tight with Trump in the whole Trump media and all that kind of stuff. And so they are really kind of reinventing themselves at GameStop. So I can't badmouth them as much as I used to. And also AeroVironment, a very important drone stock, will report earnings tonight. We'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. This one, I just saw this one break over the lines here to the news. U.S. added over 900,000 fewer jobs than previously known. Now, most of this was during Biden's last nine months in office, right?
Right.
Those numbers were way, way inflated leading up to the election, because this goes back to March of 2024.
And this follows up that other big revision. Remember, there was,
yeah,
there was a revision right after the election.
Did they know
that was
how to
like
add
800 or K or something. So,
and you know, they did replace the woman that was in charge of the reporting with a new guy. And I just don't know how you can be that far off. Okay,
911,000 revision. I mean, that's
basically
a million jobs.
I'll just send out statements to my clients. You know, hey, you actually made a lot less than I initially reported over the lot. You can't do things like that. You gotta be accurate. What the heck is going on? Okay, now, some things never change. In 1941, I'm going to say, yes, my father was 19 years old. He joined the Navy and was a submariner in World War II. And now in my new little job with my church, I meet with kids that are in the Navy and they're submariners. No wars going on, active wars, but some things never change. Submarines remain a very important part of the military. The problem is China's rapid submarine advances are sparking an undersea arms race in the Pacific. And I know China is really ramping up the military. Their military, they're transforming their submarine fleet into one of the world's most advanced in the world, narrowing the gap with the U.S. and its allies and fueling a new contest beneath the Pacific's waters. Beijing's latest submarines, and I'm sure they got a lot of our technology in them, Barry, are quieter, faster, and capable of carrying more sophisticated weapons and sensors. It's nuclear-powered subs, in particular, extending the Navy's reach far beyond coastal waters. So anyways, that's something to think about at night when you lay your head on your pillow. The buildup comes as China conducts drills around Taiwan and strengthens bases from Liaoning to Hainan. In any conflict, submarines could play a decisive role in controlling maritime choke points and disrupting shipping.
The problem is ours are more technically advanced. The problem is we just don't build them.
We can't
build them fast enough. Right, exactly.
We hold a technological edge. And I see ads on TV, buildsubmarines.com. You can get a job building submarines. With stealth, we have the stealthier Virginia class attack subs and new upgrades planned. But anyways, China has the world's largest shipbuilding industry, something we should be worried about.
Run silent, run deep. Remember?
That's right.
That was a movie. Yeah.
U.S. farm trade deficit hits record as imports surge. So that's not good for the farmers. The U.S. agricultural trade gap deepened in July, underscoring a mounting challenge for Trump, President Trump, as he pledges to restore the sector's global competitiveness. I just wonder how much, you know, my first part of the store, when you walk into a grocery store, it's the produce section. And I always make my trip through the produce section. I just wonder how much of the lettuce, the tomatoes, the onions, the corn, everything else, the fruit that I'm buying, it doesn't really say where it's coming from, but I got to believe that a lot of it, avocados, is coming from outside of America and is not grown in the U.S. of A. So anyways, we do have a growing trade deficit. You know, everything from soybeans, wheat, you name it. We're not as competitive in the world markets with our produce and our agriculture as we used to be. Goldman Sachs forecast a positive outlook for U.S. stocks through 2026. Okay, that's good news. Finally, some good news, Barry.
Yeah.
They expect the S&P to rise by 2% through year-end and 6% through mid-2026. Well, you know, if you look at my newsletter, probably the two most important areas of that newsletter, number one is the macro outlook, and I think I'm pretty much in line with Goldman Sachs, so I feel like I have pretty good company there. That's David Kostin, pretty well-known strategist. And I think the second most important area of the newsletter is the technical analysis, because that's just a snapshot. That's a picture. And when you add up all of those little pictures that I comment on in the newsletter every week, it adds up to the big picture. So anyways, they have our return forecast. They have 6,600 by the end of this year, which is just a little over 3 months away. So not much upside between now and the end of the year. According to, of course, the market usually is ahead of itself. And they've got 6,900 by the middle of next year. And I would just say that, you know, I'm pretty much in that same area with my forecast, which are based on what we know about the market, especially the analyst estimates going forward at the current time. With a forward PE of 22 right now in the S&P, we're in the 90th percentile. Going back to 1980, and you've heard me comment on that many times, that this is one of the most expensive markets that I've seen. We're not quite where we were in the year 2000 before the 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ, but we're almost there. But the quality of earnings is a lot better today than it was back then, I will say that. But still, those valuations do matter. And what's carrying the markets is momentum, which means there's still a lot of demand for stocks, and you've got the AI boom. And I do think that we are affording those stocks much higher multiples than we would. You know, look, the market is more dominated by high tech today. If you look over the last 20 years ago, it was dominated by lower PE stocks for sure. And now you've got much higher PE stocks in the AI space and the semiconductor space and the high-tech space. So maybe you can justify a 22 multiple in today's world, you know?
Yeah, financials were a big part of that multiple in the past, yes. And of course, we know what happened to them in 08, 09.
So. Yeah, and the financials historically carry mid-teens multiples,
right.
And of course, the railroads and, you know, things like that, the transportation stocks. You know, we have We have tech dominating the indexes today, and they traded higher multiples. When we come back, we have the biggest winner in the market today, as far as I know. It's in the AI space, and it's in our emerging growth portfolio. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Nebius Group. Nebius, NBIS, is the stock of the day. It's a data infrastructure, data center infrastructure stock. And you know, when I when I teach the workshops, I kind of go through going back to the old Can Slim strategy of what each letter in Can Slim stands for, C-A-N-S-L-I-M, and then I don't stop there. The other half of that equation, which Can Slim leaves out, is valuation. And I also do a pretty big segment on valuation during the workshop, too. But that C comes into play here with Nebius, okay? Nebius is, let's see, when did they go public? They've been around for a while. They're based in the Netherlands, but, you know, they're in a very good space. Infrastructure to AI builders, okay? It takes a lot of infrastructure, we're learning, and a lot of energy, and that's where the nuclear stocks come into play. But the C stands for current earnings, and I'm talking growth. Okay, and this is quarterly. Okay, the A in Can Slim stands for annual growth. But quarterly growth is very important. As we look, every 90 days, companies report earnings, which includes their sales and earnings. Nebius does not have, the symbol is NBIS. It's now a $21 billion company with today's move. They don't have earnings yet, but they have just explosive sales growth, okay? And that's what I saw in CoreWeave a while back when they came public. I said, look at the sales growth of CoreWeave. That's just got to translate into earnings growth at some point in time. Nebius has that same dynamic. Look over the last 4 quarters at Nebius earnings or sales growth, up 766%. Up 466%, up 346%, up 322%. Okay, that's their last 4 quarters. That's their year-over-year sales growth, not earnings growth. The earnings aren't there yet, but sales growth. That is the very epitome of what the C in Can Slim stands for. Although the C in Can Slims really is towards earnings, but I also look at sales growth as a precursor to hopefully someday. When you have sales growth like that, Barry, eventually you're going to surpass your overhead and get ahead of things and start dropping money to the bottom line, I would think.
Yeah, and they've got an interesting. I mean, they're really an interesting company over time. Like you said, now they're in, you know, headquartered in the Netherlands. And they were a Russian company and actually had to, you know, had to cut all of their ties with Russia after the Ukraine war. And so, and if you look at their chart, they were basically flat for a long period of time as they were trying to cut some of the, you know, get rid of the Russian part of their, you know, assets, and then have moved the headquarters to the Netherlands, and you know, they're back, kind of a survivor story, if you will.
Well, they get a $17.4 billion contract to provide AI infrastructure to a little company named Microsoft over the next 5 years. So that obviously is a big deal. And if they don't already have sales growth, this is a huge, they only have in sales over the last 12 months, 7120, they have $220 million in sales. $220 million in sales. To get a $17.4 billion contract is like, wow! So that's going to make that sales growth even better than it already is. Let's hope it translates into earnings. But this is a massive deal. Look, this is down in our emerging growth portfolio. This is a very select list of just 18 stocks. It's one of the four portfolios that I manage here at Gunderson Capital. And, with today's move in Nebius, this emerging growth portfolio is going to be up a little over 20% for year to date. But you've got to look at it and all of all of the different disclaimers and what. This is the most aggressive one. It has stocks like Astera Labs and the drone stock, AeroVironment, which reports tonight. And it's got MP Materials, the rare earth stock. It's got CoreWeave Labs.
At one point, right?
Yes. We've had some huge wins in there with CoreWeave over the years. We've had, that's where the one that went into the S&P 500 was, AppLovin. And now we've got NBIS, which we bought June 26th of this year. I got back into it, actually. We owned it before, and then during that whole tariff scare, I backed out of it, then got back in it at $52 a share, and today it's hitting $87 a share on this news. But, I mean, that is a massive contract. I can't understand.
Yeah, to show how big it is, I mean, the market cap of the company is $15 billion, and
yeah.
So, you know, this one contract is, you know, over that and could, I think it could go up to $19 billion at some point, so... it's a huge deal, and that's a, you know, as you always say, stocks follow earnings. Eventually, like you said, this revenue should turn into some bottom line earnings.
Yeah,
and that's why the stock's got a 36% pop today.
Yeah, they follow sales too. I mean, stocks follow sales. I mean, this stock would not be a $21 billion company today if the stock had not been following just the sales growth of the company. Which, you know, that's the precursor, like I say. It's pretty rare that a company with sales growth like that doesn't eventually turn the corner and start being very profitable. I have seen it happen before, but that's, again, pretty rare. And AI continues to drive the bus, and it's becoming more and more of a big thing, I think, on a daily basis. And, of course, we've been in it for a long, long time. I mean, NVIDIA, how long have we owned NVIDIA? And really, when AI crossed the line, to me, the first shot of the AI revolution was not at Fort Sumter, nor was it. We have Fort Moultrie, too, which
we
was
have,
where
yeah.
we repelled the British fleet back in the 1700s. I like living here. We're kind of rebellious here in South Carolina, a little bit of a rebel. Freedom type of spirit here on the Wando River. But anyways, for me, I remember the day we did the show and ChatGPT became available to the public by Microsoft. And all of a sudden, we could use AI was, what's the word when it goes out the regular guy. Could now use AI, and that was really, and then we found out what was underneath that ChatGPT. Now, OpenAI is not a publicly traded company, But NVIDIA certainly was, and you know, the networking stocks, Arista Networks was down there underneath driving it, and Taiwan Semiconductor and ASM Lithography. And then guess what? I think really the second part of that revolution is when Microsoft signed the deal with Constellation Energy, Three Mile Island, of all things, doesn't have the best of reputations, and bought all of that nuclear power over the next 20. That set off the nuclear revolution, and we're off to the races, and AI is, you know, is really... Well, in my lifetime, I've seen the PC revolution, the networking revolution, obviously the phone revolution.
Yeah, smartphone.
Right. And now, I mean, this whole AI thing is a whole nother revolution, maybe the biggest one ever.
March of 2023, because it was, you know, it was kind of when that took off, because you had Silicon Valley Bank went under at the, you know, at the beginning of March 2023. And then, you know, what kind of took the news cycle away from that was ChatGPT.
Yes, absolutely. That was, to me, the official first shot fired in the AI revolution. And guess who's putting it to work? And this stock is starting to really firm up. Not only did they have good news last week with a new development in their blockbuster drug, but now they're starting an AI platform for biotech firms. And this stock really perking up again. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Lilly is really starting to shape up once again. Pardon the pun. And the weight is falling off. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of pounds and tonnage are leaving America and bodies all over the world from Lilly's Zepbound drug. Now Lilly... Of course, they're on the cusp, maybe, of a pill to replace the shot in the stomach. I think that would be a big boost. It seems to me like Lilly's kind of won the race over Novo Nordisk, Wegovy. I don't know why, but Lilly seems to have gained a big market share over Novo Nordisk. And now they're launching an AI platform called TuneLab for biotech firms. I can see, you know, clinical research takes massive amounts of data. Where you start getting into genetic research and all of this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The computing power and the data that has to be analyzed and everything like that. Seems to me like AI would be very, very useful in the drug industry. So Lilly has a proprietary data platform valued at over $1 billion that they're going to let biotechs tap into to speed up drug discovery. And, you know, I like Lilly really is trading at a pretty decent multiple now. It would represent a relative value at the current time. It has not performed well. I mean, it's down. Last item I looked, it was down 20% year to date.
Well, in the administration, you know, that we talk, you and I talk about it a lot. You know, behind the scenes, it's just obviously the administration in terms of wanting to reduce drug prices, right? I think that's, you know, kind of been the overhang, probably to the name, because, you know, drug wise, they're nailing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the stock is afraid of Trump and what right. He might do to their drug price. He wants them to bring down the price of Zepbound to whatever the lowest price is in the world that people are paying, and that's definitely the overhang over the stock. But man, their earnings growth over the last four quarters: 999%, 114%, 29%, and 61%. They made a record haul of earnings in this last quarter of $6.31 per share. They're expected to make $22.82 per share this year. Take that, Pfizer and Merck and Johnson & Johnson and all you others, Bristol-Myers, that seemingly have very little of a pipeline of drugs like Lilly's. Let alone, you know, the sales growth that Lilly has. So anyways, Lilly's interesting here at this price level. Volkswagen turns to AI. They're investing $1 billion to cut cost and boost competitiveness. Of course, they need to do something. They're hurting quite badly at Volkswagen. And I don't know where they lay on the tariffs. I guess they come under the European tariffs of 15%. Japan's cars are 15%. And South Korea's are 25%. South Korea did not help their cause any by having those illegal South Korean workers working a big chunk of the work there in Georgia.
At Hyundai.
At Hyundai. That hit the national news last night. Bitmine. Okay, this is the one we talked about, Bitmine Immersion Technologies. Their crypto and cash holdings now exceed more than $9.2 billion. So that's something new. I mean, they're taking money given to them by investors and buying Bitcoin. I mean, this is a recent IPO. Of course, MicroStrategy has been doing that for quite some time. But this Bitmine Immersion, BMNR, was on fire yesterday, along with the stock that they'd made the investment in. And Octo, O-C-T-O, was up. Octo was up like 3,000% yesterday. Kathy Wood is a big player. If you believe in Kathy Wood, BMNR, she's a big player in that one. Uber and Sephora partner to deliver beauty products across North America. What else can be delivered to your door? I thought Sephora right. was already part of Amazon, but I guess not. And I know Uber's also delivering for Home Depot and Lowe's these days.
They are, yep.
Along with the meals from restaurants, along with delivering you to the airport and back. And Uber Freight is out there somewhere, and Uber continues to be a big player in many facets of today's world.
Yeah, you sent that bond. You sent that bond offering that they're creating. I mean, they're an investment grade company, and what they're raising what I think $2 billion in
debt. Yeah. So now we don't have. I saw that they were doing a bond offering, and we do run a bond individual bond portfolio. I'm not a big believer in bond funds at all. They've underperformed by a wide margin. Huge margin over time. I mean, the compound interest on what you're losing in the by owning a bond fund as opposed to the individual bonds is huge. And I would have great interest in that Uber bond. Now, we don't have details on it yet. I'm going to guess 5.5%.
Well, and I looked up some of their current, you know, current bonds that are out there, and the yields on something in the 10-year range right now for their bonds is like around 4%.
No, no, I don't want that. I can get that in a U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
So you don't think that it's going to be a very attractive coupon yield then?
Yeah, I mean, it says 10 years. It's going to be. I think it's a 10-year note, and they're expecting it to be about 1% over a treasury.
Well,
so I guess it'd be maybe in that 5% range.
Low fives.
Yeah, potentially.
Well, there's a lot of people out there. They've told me over the years, Bill, I'd be happy just earning 5 or 6% a year, without a lot of risk. And then I think that individual bonds are the way to go. A portfolio of those. All right, well, we're out of time to reserve a spot. We'll be next Tuesday night. I'll be teaching. I'll be in Santa Clara teaching a workshop just down the street from Nibius and NVIDIA and Astera Labs and all of these great AI stocks and chip stocks and tech stocks. To reserve a spot to that, we did get a bigger room. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment with one of our advisors here. Give us a call. Give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.